So we left off yesterday. We were discussing machlokes harishonim between the Rashba and the Ri on the one hand, against the Ra on the other hand, about how to understand the halachas of riba b'shiurim. When I do an action that's basically permissible, and I want to add on a little bit more for good luck, so can I do that or not? So the Gemara told us a distinction, seemingly between Shabbos versus Yontif. When it comes to cooking on Shabbos, which of course is only permissible for pikuach nefesh, and then the Gemara says that it's also the harbos b'shiurin. You're not permitted to add on more. You just have to try as best to figure out exactly how much the challah needs. Whereas when it comes to yontif, so the Gemara says, the favorite, you're allowed to add on as much as you want. Doesn't matter whether you need the soup, don't need the soup. As long as it's you need one bowl of soup, then you can cook the entire pot of soup. So how do you understand the difference between those two? So one group of Rishonim, led by the Ri and the Rashba, said that min haTorah, there's really no difference. Min haTorah, Ri b'shiurin is always mutar. But the Rabbanan, the Chacham didn't want you to do it. It doesn't look right. So in the situation of a Cholan Shabbos, which is more serious than this Eskila, they instituted this Issa the Rabbanan called Riba Shirin on Yontif, Achon Nefesh and Yontif, which is so much more lenient. It's only alive anyway. They left it on the Din Deraisa that Riba Shirin is basically Mutter. That was the Ri and the Rash. But then the Ran disagreed. The Ran said no, that conceptually the two are very, very different. And that according to the Ran, Riba Shirin is only permissible when the Ikar Maisa is mutter, such as cooking on Yontif. It's mutter to cook on Yontif. It's not that it's that, oh well, we're stuck, Shasar Chak, what can you do? We have to let you. It's mutter to cook on Yontif, finish. It's Echon Nefesh, the Tari Tira. When the action itself is mutter, then the Tesefis, then the Ribui also becomes mutter. Whereas when it comes to cooking for a chayla on Shabbos, you're not allowed to cook for a chayla on Shabbos. I mean, we know you're allowed to, but you're not really allowed to. It's really called chilul Shabbos. It's a type of chilul Shabbos that the Torah, we throw our hands up and say, all right, Nebuch, what are you going to do with the person? You can't let the person die. So Nebuch, we have to cook for him on Shabbos, but you're still doing malacha. It's a malacha isser, albeit it's a malacha zitz that the Torah tells you, b'docha, b'shasarchach, you are allowed to do. But since the Maisa, what you're doing is called the Maisa Ha'is, it's Maisa Malacha and Shabbos, therefore only that amount is Nidcha. Anything above and beyond that amount is going to remain Isuro on a level of Deraisa. So it's major Machlaikis, the Ra'an against the Rashba. So at the end of the Shia yesterday, we said that this Machlaikis seems to be a very Lamdash Machlaikis as to what the very nature of Riba Shirin is all about. Why is it that in Yontif it's Mutter? So Rabbi Chanan suggested two possibilities. Either Riba Shirin is Mutter because the focus is on the Maisa. Once the Maisa is labeled as Maisa Mutter, so once what I'm doing is Mutter, how can you turn around and say what I'm doing is also? Can't have it both ways. So once the Maisa is labeled as a Maisa Mutter, the Mela, you can add on to that Maisa. So that's very much in line with the Ran's reasoning, that the question of Riba Shirin ultimately has to focus on the Maisa itself. If the Maisa is Mutter like Yontif, then Riba Shirin is Mutter. If the Maisa is also like Pikuach Nefesh, then the Riba Shirin is going to be also. So the Ran is very Maisa oriented. But the other side of Riba Shirin is a different story than Gamma. Riba Shirin means that how could you ever asser it if this bowl of soup could potentially, and that bowl of soup could potentially, that bowl of soup. You can't pinpoint anything in this pot that's also. So it's not shayach, it's not pride, it's not feasible to asser anything. Everything is mutter because you can always hide behind the head to have a chonefesh, the pikuach nefesh, whatever the head to may be. According to that understanding of Riba Shirin, that the focus is less on the maisa and more on the fact that everything ultimately in and of itself is mutter, then there really should be no distinction between Bishul B'Shabbos of Pikuach Nefesh and Bishul B'Yontif of Echon Nefesh, which is in fact what the Ri and the Rashba say. There really is no difference. At a level of Deraisa, there really is no difference. That it's mutter, in fact, by both, at least at a level of Deraisa. So that home Shtikl Torah from Rabbi Chanan, that machlokes is the Ri, the Rashba, and the Ran that led us into two different ideas of Riba Shirin, led us now to a lemaisa application of that within the realm of Yontif itself. So we mentioned at the very end of the Shia yesterday that there's a big discussion in the postgame about carrying keys on Yontif. So before we get to the Riba Shirin part that we spoke about at the end of the Shia, we have to take a little bit of a step back about how can I ever carry a key on Yontif? Forget about the office key, the extra key. How can I carry the key itself on Yontif? What's that to carry that? So it seems to be a throwback to the Machlokes Bisham and Beisilol, the Mishnah Maseches Beitz, we spoke about many times. Maseches Beitz, Daf Yud Beis and Aleph. The Mishnah quotes the Machlokes, can you carry a shofar on Rosh Hashanah? Can you carry a lulav and sukkahs? Can you carry a push a baby carriage on Yontif? So Bishamai says no. Bishamai says you're only allowed to carry on Yontif for Echol Nefesh. It's a possible chumash. Bishamai sounds like they're right. Achashay Echol Nefesh. If you want to carry a bottle of wine to your host, that's okay. You want to carry food to the sukkah, that's okay. And once you're out of the realm of pure Ochel Nefesh, and Bishami sounds like they're correct, it would be Asim and Torah to carry on Yontif. And Basil disagrees. Why does Basil disagree? A famous klam, since the Torah permits carrying Letzorech, everyone agrees you're allowed to carry food to the Sukkah, everyone agrees you can carry a bottle of wine, so too the same Torah was mounted there to carry the Machzeh, to carry the same Torah, to push the baby carriage as well. The famous principle called Mitoich. It's a very, very difficult principle to understand. How do you jump from one to another? So that's a big question that we showed him. What gives us the right to make that jump? What exactly is the lump of the base? We're not learning the whole Sugi B'Tach right now. We're just trying to glean the part that's necessary for Rabbi B'Shiur.
Going to that rock, because I don't know, if the mice is allowed, then why would it be usher if it's two separate bags?
This mice is allowed, but let's say I'm allowed to cook on Yontif, but I'm not allowed to do something else on Yontif. I'm not allowed to do something that's not Letzor Chayom.
But no, we were saying before that you can marvish shurim if it was, let's say, this, you know.
As long as it's the same maisa, it means this maisa X is mutter, so whatever's part of maisa X is mutter, just because maisa X is mutter doesn't mean maisa Y is mutter.
Okay.
Right? So there's a machlekes Rashi and Tosfos within the parameters of Beis statement. We pass like Beis the principle of mitoch shehutro letzorach udam shalotzorach. So Rashi learns that shalol letzorach, in that statement of Beis Hillel meant, shalol letzorach klal. According to Rashi's understanding of mitoch, you can carry anything under the sun on Yontif, whether you need it, don't need it, do want to use that. Everything, there's no issur of carrying it all on Yontif, because you just plug in that rule, mitoch shehutro letzorach udam shalotzorach. And Tosfos disagrees. Tosfos says that, no. When Beis Hillel said, Hutra Shalol Tzorach, Shalol Tzorach didn't mean Shalol Tzorach Klal. Shalol Tzorach meant Shalol Tzorach Echol Nefesh. But it has to be still what's called a Tzorach Hayom Ktas. It has to be some need to the day. Proof positive, says Tosfos. All the examples listed in the Mishnah are Tzorach Hayom Ktas. Pushing the baby carriage, carrying the lulav, carrying the shofar, carrying the Sefer Torah. But to carry things stamped for no reason whatsoever, says Tosfos, whoever said that's mutter, even Beis Hillel never said that. So what's taich? What's the pshat of the words of Beis Hillel? Mitoch shehutro letzorach letzorach, hutro nami shelo letzorach. What does those magic words, shelo letzorach, mean? According to Rashi, it means literally shelo letzorach b'chlal. There's no tzorach gyuzah. And according to Tosfos, there is a tzorach. It's just, it's not as great a tzorach as Beishabe required. It's not a tzorach of Echol Nefesh, but it's still a tzorach yom ktas. If you carry something, shelo letzorach yom klal, says Tosfos, that would be also min haTorah, even according to Beis Hillel. The Ramah tells us that we should try to follow Shittas HaTosfos. The Chabad doesn't quote Tosfos, quotes Rashi, but the Ramah paskens like Tosfos. That's what our minig is, at least we try Ashkenazim, try to follow Shittas HaTosfos, only to carry on Yontif when it's Letzorach HaYom, albeit it doesn't have to be Echol Nefesh, it has to be Tzorach HaYom Ktas. Somebody told me this past year that they run a Pesach program, not a hotel, some other kind of a place, and there was an Eruv that was put up there, and then on after Shabbos Chol HaMoed, so they saw that the Goyim were taking down the Eruv. So they said, why are you taking down the Eruv? So they said, they got instructions. Saturday's over. They could take down the Eruv. So they asked, what about for the last 2 days of Yontif? Apparently the workers who got that order held like Rashi. What do you need an Eruv for the last days of Yontif? Put the carry without an Eruv. So the guy said, wait a second, what about according to Tosfos? Was the first of many machleksim on the program. We'll leave it like that. So according to the way we pass it like the Ramah, that it's not a green light, a freebie to carry anything on Yontif. We have very, very, a lot of leniencies in carrying on Yontif. It's got to still qualify as Letzorach HaYom Ktas. So there's machlekes the Ramah and many other poskim as to what qualifies as Letzorach HaYom Ktas in the following sense. Let's say I want to carry a key. Why do I want to carry a key? What do I need this key for? I need the key because I, say for the example that the Rishonim gave, I have this safe somewhere, this box somewhere, and it has all my jewels in it, all my cash in it, and I want to lock it, and I want to carry the key because I'm afraid if I don't lock the safe, I don't carry the key with me, leave the key around, someone's going to come and steal all my money on Yom Tov. Does that qualify as Tzorach HaYom Ktas? So many poskim say, Tzorach HaYom Ktas. What are you going to do with the cash on Yontif? Not going to do anything anymore. Are you worried that the cash is going to be taken and you won't have money for after Yontif? That's not called Tzorach HaYom, that's called Tzorach Chol. That would be also. And the Ramah says, no, that's okay. The Ramah says, the mere fact that I want to carry the key to lock the safe, to keep my money safe, if I don't lock the safe, I don't have the key, I'm going to agitate on Yom Tov. The fact that I'm agitating, the psychological distress on Yom Tov, that is going to shtar my simchas Yom Tov. That's called Tzorach HaYom. So the Ramah had a very extensive understanding of Tzorach HaYom. It doesn't have to mean you're using the Chefza. Even your mindset can qualify as Tzorach HaYom. So many Pesachim disagree with that. So Mishnah Berurah says one should really try, that's not to rely on the Skula. One shouldn't carry a key just stamp for to prevent psychological stress on Yom Tov. So the Poskim write, Pamed the Vermamurim, that this machlik is the Ramah and others about carrying keys. That's if the key is being used to lock up something that Lamais is not really going to use in Yom Tov. What are the keys being used to lock up something that I may use on Yom Tov? That's for sure mutter. That's mamish tzei. So let's say, for example, I have all my silver, I have my kiddush cups, and I want to go to shul and I want to lock the door. If I don't lock the door, not just will I agitate in shul because I may get something stolen, but I may come back for lunch and I won't have a kiddush cup to my kiddush on anymore. So that's for sure considered to be tzorach hayoyim. So the poskim write that even those who disagree with the Ramah would permit the carrying of keys under those circumstances. So we're back in business. So we could carry our house keys based on that. Why? If I don't I want to go to shul, if I don't lock my door, I don't have a Shabbos lock, so I'm afraid that someone's going to come and not just steal my money, they're going to steal my kugel. That's going to really steal my yom tov. So that's going to impact on my yochel nefesh, or they're going to steal my dishes, they're going to steal my silverware. So that's already going to interfere with my celebration of yom tov mamish, not just psychologically interfere. That's for sure considered to be tzorach hayom. Okay, so we're back on business. So we're permitted to carry keys on yom tov. We raised the shayla at the end of the shiur yesterday. I'm permitted to carry my house key on yom tov. What about if my office key happens to be thrown on as well? I deliberately did not give the example of my car key because I don't want to start mixing up Yom Tov with Muktasha. It's really more complicated. The car key should probably be off the keyring. So let's say there's no Eruv. I want to carry my house key on Yom Tov. So we gave you a head to carry the house key. I happen to have my office key stuck on the same ring. What's the din? Can we label that as Riba Bishirin? Can we justify that based on Riba Bishirin? So we said that depends on all this lomdus. It depends on the Salmach Leikis. How to understand the head of Riba Bishirin? According to that Svar of the Ran, that Riba Bishirin is based on Maisa. If the Maisa is Mutter, so whatever schleps along with that Maisa is Mutter, the Maisa of carrying a house key is Mutter. We just said that. Chuliyam, we can carry a house key in Yontif. So since you can do a maisa carrying a house key, no, that's called the tzorach hayom. So the office key is considered to be nichlol, and that maisa is considered to be included in, it's subsumed under that maisa, and it would be perfectly okay. Even though I can't use the office key for anything, or anything that's the tzorach hayom. But according to the other tzad, according to the Rin, the Rashba, who say that that Rebbe Bishurin is not mice oriented, Rebbe Bishurin is, in a sense, chefz oriented. That if you could use this chafza, then it's okay. So I could use this bowl of soup, and I could use that bowl of soup, and I could use that bowl of soup. Or the case of the figs, I could use this fig, and I could use that fig, and I could use the other fig. The doctor said two figs. I am cutting a branch with 100 figs, but each fig is a chafza which could be used for pikuach nefesh. Over here, try to open up your house door with your office key. It's not going to work. So, Ella, what's the hetter that you carry your office key? What's the tzorach hayom for carrying your office key? According to Rashi, it's not so bad. Rashi holds you can carry even shalot tzorach hayom klal. But we're machmer in the Ramos machmer for tosus. So we will machmer for tosus only to limit our carrying on yanta, but there's no eruv to tzorach hayom tzas. So we would have serious reservations about carrying the house key with the office key on it, because maybe that would be a shalot tzorach hayom klal, depending on yeshita about Reuven Bishurin. So this shaila, which the way we're presenting it, should be a machlokes shown him, was the Maisa Machlaikis, the Gedalia Paiskim. It was a Machlaikis between Rav Moshe and others, whether this is okay or not. Rav Moshe was Machmer in the Shana. Rav Moshe held that Reuven Bishurin should not apply under these circumstances because the office key is not usable for Tzorach HaYom. And the Shmir Shabbos quotes other poskim, we'll make it on the Shaila. So according to what we're saying, this is not a Shaila from the last century. This is a Machlaikis back to the days of Rishonim. It ultimately boils down to how to understand the difference between Reuven Bishurin and Shabbos, Reuven Bishurin and Yom Tov. Is Reuven Bishurin fundamentally chefts-oriented? Is Reuven Bishurin fundamentally mice-oriented?
If there's
an
Erev, there's no issue with this
at all. Right, Erev is for sure, okay, right. Because even though one shouldn't be carrying things on Yom Tov, on Shabbos, even with an Erev of Stam for Chol, that's more of a Hachana issue, that's more of a Zilzal Shabbos issue. But here, I'm not carrying it, Lachol. I'm carrying the house key. It just happens to be an office key schlepped along also. So Chol, that should be okay. So I had an interesting application of this Shiloh in the realm of Reuven Bishurin.
But we didn't resolve the Machlokes between the Ram and the Ram.
But we didn't resolve it. Right. We don't know yet the answer to that question. It's hard to test the answer because everybody agrees Lamaisa it's mutter on Yom. Everyone agrees Lamaisa it's also on Shabbos. Whether it's also deraisa or not, it's hard to tell. So it's going to be hard to look at Shulchan Aruch and find why is it also to be marbe b'shulachola? Is it a deraisa like the Ran, or is it a derabana like the Rashba Sotana?
But does Rav Moshe reference to this?
I don't know if Rav Moshe writes about this whole thing. I don't remember that Rav Moshe relates it to the Shah. I don't remember. So I had a unique application, perhaps, to this shayla of Rebbe Shimon and Yontif, when on the one hand I'm doing a ma'aseh that's mutter, on the other hand I want to schlep along other things, but those other things are not necessarily usable, but they are considered to be part of the same ma'aseh. So I had the following shayla about, let's say a person wants to push a baby carriage on Yontif. So there's no air for a moment. A person wants to push a baby carriage on Yontif. Okay, so that's a Mishnah. The Mishnah says, Molichin es esatino, you're allowed to carry a baby on Yontif. Even though one of the Rishon Ben Chananel says that means for the purposes of bris milah, you want to be mal the baby. We assume Allah like the other Rishonim that you want to take a walk in the park. That's also considered to be Yotzerach Yom. So because Yontif, that's also good. So you want to push a baby carriage on Yontif. What's the Shabbos? Het Gomer? So the baby is Yotzerach Yom. The carriage is obviously Yotzerach Yom. I don't want to carry the baby on my arms. I'd be so comfortable. So that's all considered to enhance the Yontif. That's okay. What about other things that are on the bottom of the stroller? So anything that I may need for the baby, that's okay. So let's say, for example, I want to take a diaper. So a diaper is all right. You can throw a diaper in there. That's also the Tzarech Hayom. What if I want to have a whole package of diapers? 100 diapers in there. I mean, it's not going to be such a long walk. So maybe I'll use maximum 2 diapers. That's also okay based on previous year. We said already previous year. If I want to carry a tissue, I don't need 100 tissues. I need 2 tissues, but whatever's in the same pattern, it's also okay. So far, so good. So we got the baby in there, we got the stroller in there, we got the diaper in there. Let's say I want to throw a toy in also. It's okay. The baby wants to play with the toy and you have to, let's say I want to throw in 2 toys. I don't know which toy the baby's going to want. So far, everything looks like it's okay. Let's say I want to throw in, you know, a little extra jacket or something in case the baby gets cold. Okay. So far, whatever, everything is being subsumed under Letzarech Hayom. But every once in a while, if you take a look at the bottom of your strollers, I challenge everyone those little strollers when you get home, take a look at the bottom of the stroller, there was usually an assortment of, I don't want to use the word junk, but there's the stuff in the bottom that you're probably not going to use until maybe you have grandchildren. And there's a lot of stuff in there. It's not necessarily Letzarech Hayom. So the question becomes, can I push the stroller again? Assuming there's no way, can I push the stroller on Yom Tif with all kind of assorted odds and ends at the bottom of the stroller that are clearly not going to qualify as Letzarech Hayom? So Lechor, that's the same Shiloh. If you hold that the Maisa is Mutter, once the Maisa is Mutter, then everything in effect becomes Mutter. So then I'm in business. I don't have to start to look. All the extra stuff at the bottom of the stroller is like the extra keys in the keyring. It's all the same thing. It's all included in the head of Rebbe Shirin and Yandiv. But if you follow Rebbe Maisha, who took a much more chomerdik version of Rebbe Shirin, which is not just Rebbe Maisha, it's Rishonim already. There are many Rishonim held that way. They read in the Rashi held that way. That Rebbe Shirin is chefetz oriented. You got to look at each object and see. Can I use that? Can I not use it? Can I use it? Can I not use it? I look at the stuff at the bottom of the stroller. I'm not going to use that. There's no way. This kid is way past using that particular toy. There's no way he's going to use this toy. A hole, I may find another kid with a toy. I don't know about that. So I have to look at each chefetz and ask myself, honestly, can this chefetz be used? So the extra diaper, yes, this diaper can be used. But can the extra other chavatza be used? Not necessarily. So according to Moshe, we may be in trouble. We have to start checking the bottom of the stroller. But here, matters may get even a little bit more complicated. Even according to the Mekilim here, I may have a little bit of a problem with stuff on the bottom of the stroller, and I'll tell you why. It's all based, according to the Mekilim, it's all based on the Maisas, a Maisa HaMutter. So what did that mean when it came to cooking? I'm doing a Maisa Bishul when I cook that first bowl of soup. So now, the Torah was Ma'at, Acha She'achol Kol Nefesh, I can cook that first bowl of soup. So Migo, I'm cooking that first bowl. 100 bowls, as long as they're all in the same pot, same time, same fire, they all get schlepped along with that first bowl of soup. According to the Ran, I have to have a Maisa HaMutter. That's what kicks in the whole din of Rebbe Shirin. When I push a baby in a baby carriage, am I doing a Maisa of Hotzah that the Torah was Mater based on the Hetas of Eichon Nefesh and Mitoch? Not so simple. Depends how old this baby is. If the baby can already walk on his own, it's just that it's not so comfortable taking for a long walk. He's not going to walk so well. But if the baby basically can walk on his own, then min haTorah, I am not doing a maisa of carrying. You know why? Because min haTorah chaynos es atzmo. Min haTorah, you're allowed to carry a baby on Shabbos. Min haTorah, a baby that can walk on his own. Chaynos es atzmo. So since the baby can already walk on his own, mida araisa, I'm not doing a maisa of otzah. If I'm not doing a maisa of otzah, then I don't get that green light, I don't get that button to push to say, oh, well, migu, I'm carrying the baby and carry everything else along with a chada maisa. So, oh, hold on, one second, hold on, not so simple, okay? So the baby itself may not be the matir if the baby can't walk. I'll tell you a secret. There are some Rishonim who say, even if the baby can't walk, maybe Chaynos Esatzel may still apply past. That's already a Hotzah Shaila. Depends on a complicated sukkah, not for now. But at least if the baby's old enough to walk Mekoshi, so then Chaynos Esatzel kicks in Midarais, even though Midarabon it's awesome. Midarais, it's still considered to be a not an active Hotzah. And now I have to throw out the question, the whole sukkah of Yerushirin. Eloah, well, Even though the baby can walk, I thought I was going to ask me, but the stroller can't walk, so I'm pushing the stroller. So I'm doing an active otzah on the stroller. Not so simple. The Mishnah says in Masechah Shabbos that min haTorah, if I carry a person in a bed, I'm not chayiv for carrying the person, I'm not chayiv for the stretcher also, not chayiv for the bed also. You know why? Because the bed is tofel to the person. I'm not really carrying the bed, I'm not carrying the stretcher. The stretcher is an extension of the person. So guess what? The stroller is an extension of the person, the vault. Now, I'm back in trouble. The stroller is an extension of the person, so I'm not doing a carrying, an act of carrying on the baby, and I may not be doing an act of carrying on the stroller also. So Ari's correct. Okay, make sure you got a diaper in there. Make sure you got something in there. Make sure you got a toy in there. Make sure you got a bag of snacks in there. Make sure there's something in there that's invoking the heter of carrying on Yom Tif. It's like I'm looking to carry something. It means Kozman, there's nothing deraisa in there that's called carrying. Then the whole Reb Shira is going to fall by the wayside. So I want to make sure that I have something in there, one thing that's for sure of the Tzarech Hayom, and that's going to be matir everything. I don't want to rely on the baby being matir everything. I don't want to rely on the stroller being matir everything. So if I want to have extra things that are bottom of that stroller, I have to make sure I got one thing in there that's totally mutter. And then and only then can Reb Shira kick in, even according to the Mekilim. So this comes a very, very long Sharia. I got to start checking the bottom of the stroller very carefully. If I want to have nothing on the bottom of the stroller, that's fine. But once I want to have unnecessary things on the bottom of the stroller, I have to make sure there's a necessary thing as well in order for Reb Shira to kick in according to half the Rishonim. So this is a lot of lumps. The stroller walks in became much, much more lumps than we thought it was. So we used to have I can't call it an official minig in our family, but we had we'll call it a practice in the Sobolovsky home that, as a chumrah, as a midas chassidus, whatever you want to call it. I try, not to rely on the Erev. Nothing to do with the Tinak Erev. A general hakpada, there are some sheets that hold question. A lot of our Erev and a lot of different factors. So if I don't have to, I don't usually use the Erev. On the other hand, I'm not saying that it's no good. I'm not saying it's no good, and therefore, my wife wants to use the Erev, so she uses the Erev. So that's become kind of, whether you like that kind of a policy as husband and wives or not, that's really a whole different, complicated story. But that has become by the post facto policy, that my wife uses the Erev, and I generally don't use the Erev. When our kids reach Bar Bas Mitzvah, so I told them they could choose which side of the family they want to follow with this one. So up until now, the split has been between boys and girls. So again, I can't tell my next son's coming. My Mitzvah in a few months, I don't know. Until he realizes that means he can't carry his ball outside, so which he probably shouldn't be doing anyway after Bar Mitzvah. So we'll see how that's going to play out in a few months from now. But right now, that's the... I don't know. My daughter's now hanging out in Eretz Yisrael. I don't know which chumash she's going to come back with. How things are going to play out. Anyway, whatever it is. So since I was always the one who wasn't pushing the stroller on Shabbos, I used to go out of my way on Yom Tov. We would take a Yom Tov walk. I would always go out of my way to be the one to push the stroller. I figured, give my wife a break at least a few times a year. So I would proudly walk pushing that stroller on Yom Tov. But before it's not to push the stroller on Yom Tov, I do an inspection on the bottom of the stroller. What's the tzarech? What's not the tzarech? Reb Shurin. So there was one Yom Tov, my wife saw me sitting there analyzing with Mr. Brewer in hand, which things should be on the bottom. It reached a certain point where it's easier for her to push the stroller even on Yom Tov for her than to watch me take the stroller apart, literally shoot the kimashmal. So anyway, meanwhile our kids are out of strollers, so we'll see what life brings in terms of strollers.
So the wheelchair would then theoretically be more complicated because you're not sticking anything in the wheelchair.
Well, Well, the question is, if you have unnecessary, if you have whatever is necessary, it's necessary. So the pushing the cholim himself in the wheelchair is mutter. The pushing the wheelchair itself is mutter. If you have food in the bottom of things, the sweatshirt, whatever things the person may need, that's one thing. But if you have unnecessary things connected to the wheelchair, so that would potentially be a problem.
You said chaynos etzmo.
But the question is, right, so the question is, can you say chaynos etzmo in a wheelchair? It depends how bad they can't walk. If they can walk a little bit, then chaynos etzmo. If they mamish can't walk at all, so then that's what's called a kafos, and then it would make matters, in a sense, better for us. Since they can't carry it all, then what I'm doing is called an act of carrying, then everything becomes mutter. So this was all the shirayim of yesterday's shir. We didn't get to today's shir yet. Not too much time, but we'll start a little bit of today's shir. So everything that we said yesterday revolving around the Shita Saran was working with two very, very lomdish yesodos, namely that cooking on Yontif is hutra. It's absolutely mutter to cook on Yontif. You don't even have to ask any questions. It's het gomer to cook on Yontif. And it's absolutely also to cook on Shabbos. Even for Chodesh Yesh B'Sakana, it's really fundamentally, at least theoretically, also. It's just that Nebuch, the Chuyah, the Torah says you can do it anyway. But it's basically called a malacha. The Ran's Shtikl Torah about Rebbe Bashir and everything that follows from that, about the mice oriented, everything that emanates from this Ran is only as true as those two premises are. If the Ran is right about Eichel Nefesh and he's right about Pekuach Nefesh, about the Chuyah Nutra, then we can negotiate his pshat. If either one of those two premises falls by the wayside, then we could say Nafla Yisrael, Nafla Binyan. If the foundation falls and the house comes tumbling down. So is the Ran correct? Is the Ran agreed upon? So the answer most, is he correct or not? Possibly. Is he agreed upon by everybody? Definitely not. Not everybody agrees, perhaps, to either one of those two yourselves of the Ran. So it's interesting, if you go back for a moment back to the Ran, that the Ran proved that he was right. If you it's five lines on the bottom of the Ran, so it's the end of the line, by the period. The Ran was trying to convince you beyond a shadow of a doubt that Eichel Nefesh and Yontif is Chutra. Don't make a mistake to think that Eichel Nefesh is the Chuya. I'll prove to you that Eichel Nefesh is Mutter. The Afilu Efshem Er Yontif Shari. Proof positive, says the Ran. Even if you're able to cook from before Yontif, and I'm b'chuyav to do so, you're allowed to cook Lechet Chila on Yontif, knowing full well you could have done it from Er Yontif. The Ran seems to be, how do you gauge whether something is the Chuyah Hutra? So the Ran seems to tell us the way to measure whether something is the Chuyah Hutra is to ask that simple question. Should you have taken care of it, Mibi El Yom? If you should have taken care of it, Mibi El Yom, then you should have. And if you didn't, then we're going to raise some serious questions about that. Let's say L'moshel, let's take Pikuach Nefesh for a moment. We'll play devil's advocate for a moment. Pikuach Nefesh. Let's say a person has a certain type of pikuach nefesh to take care of, and he knows for a fact he can take care of it on Friday afternoon. Very simply, he can take care of it Friday afternoon. It's not going to be a tremendous problem. And he doesn't. Now, he waits till Shabbos. Now, lemais, if the guy's dying on Shabbos, nebuch, we're going to have to do it on Shabbos. But we look at the person and say, you know, you really goofed. You should have done that on Friday afternoon. You should not have dilly-dallied and waited till Shabbos. Let's say a person knows that they're going to have to be in the hospital on Shabbos. They know for a fact they're going to have to be in the hospital on Shabbos. And it's a question of going to the hospital at 8 o'clock at night or going to the hospital at 6 o'clock before a lech benching. I know for a fact I have to be there. So you have no right to wait till 8 o'clock. L'chora, to go to the hospital, says the Ran. You got to do it maybe on Yom. Now, if you didn't and you were lazy, yeah, so tachas, the guy's dying at 8 o'clock. Okay, we're not going to tell him, sorry, you should have done it and therefore die. So we're going to nebuch and close our eyes and let him go anyway. But really, in terms of his planning, he should have planned to be in the hospital at 6 o'clock before Shabbos actually starts. Says the Ran, we do not make that calculation when it comes to cooking on Yontif. A woman comes and asks the Shala, am I mechuyev to cook this food at 5 o'clock in the afternoon before Yontif starts? Or can I cook it 2 hours from now? So says the Ran, het tegoma, no one ever heard of being required to cook the food, mibi el yom. Oh, says the Ran, that's proof positive that Eichel Nefesh must be began der Hutra. If that's the proof positive, we're not even sure that that din is true. So in fact, the Ramah in Uchaz Yontif quotes from some Rishonim, including Rashi, that if you could just as easily cook the food Mibi El Yom, you should cook the food Mibi El Yom. You could always do that. You could always cook things the day before. The Ramah says, that's not called just as easily. Food's not going to taste as good. Everybody knows a good fresh piece of schnitzel tastes better than a schnitzel that's been sitting in the fridge for the last 3 days. So comes the Poskim, comes the Ramah and says, Lamaisa, you're allowed to cook on Yom Tif, even though you quote unquote could have cooked maybe on Yom, because the food probably would have gotten would have deteriorated. But im dimtzei lomid, that there would have been no change whatsoever. But it tastes just as good if you would have cooked it on Erev Yom Tif or on Yom Tif. And there are some foods like that. The Rabbah says in Hochinami.
There's no refrigeration.
Oh, before? Very good, excellent. So that's what there are some who wanted to argue, that Rabbah only makes sense in the old days. Bizman hazeh, you stick it in the fridge. I still don't think it's true. You stick it in the fridge, it's still not the same. We all know, you sit down, you know, when Haraya, when you eat that piece of chicken on Friday night, it's not the same as eating it the following Wednesday night after it's been sitting around for 4 hours. It's been in the refrigerator. Okay. In the refrigerator, Rinnim calls that, it's not the same. So the Ramah, the Ran's being a raya that Echol Nefesh is hutra from the fact that you don't have to be careful to cook dafka on Erev Yom Tif. We're not even sure that raya is true. We're going to give in to the Ran on that. That's the simple part of the Ran. The second half of the Ran, where the Ran is contrasting Echol Nefesh to Pikuach Nefesh, Pikuach Nefesh look the Ran, that's the Chuya, and therefore Reb Shira is also, and the whole ball starts to roll. So hopefully, Mentorship on Friday, we have to really, really analyze that second half of the Ran, because that's highly controversial. But the Ran is claiming that Pikuach Nefesh is the Chuya. That's a big, big question. And the ramifications of that are very, very serious ones, particularly for doctors. Those who are involved in the Heter or the Chuya, whatever it's called, the Pikuach Nefesh. So it's very important to know, is this the Chuya or is it Hutra? There can be some serious nafkaminas ladina. How much a person has to avoid Pikuach Nefesh. So hopefully, Mentorship will wait till Friday in terms of
might not want to know.